What's up, fam? Welcome to Love Alive Church, the podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. I hope that is a blessing to you and your family. Let's go.
Y'all ready to get into some word? Let's do it. Come on, grab your Bible. Stand with me. Stand with me for the reading of God's word. Let's go to the book of Joshua, book of Joshua, chapter number one. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Book of Joshua, chapter number one. Whew. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? If you got an Apple phone, you are the healed of God. If you got an Android, we still yet praying for you. We know you'll get to that scripture about tomorrow this time. Joshua chapter number one, starting at verse number five, reading from the New Living Translation. It reads on this wise. It says, "No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." Oh, that's good right there, ain't it? Verse number six, it says, "Be strong and courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instructions continuously. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything," somebody say everything, "everything written in it. Only then will I prosper, and only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." Verse number nine, "This is my command: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." If I was going to give this a subject, which I am a preacher, so I am, I would give it the subject, the proactive promise. The proactive promise. Touch somebody on your way to your seat, say, "You got a proactive promise." You all can have your seats. Proactive promise. On January 1st, 1995, two dermatologists by the name of Kathy Ronan and Katie Fields launched an acne cream by the name of Proactive Solution. It took the world by storm, and the base of their success was, this is something that you do before you get bumps. Now, okay, y'all tripping. They said, "We're not going to wait until you have them, but it's a face wash that you can apply before you get them. It is something you do before you need it. Where other acne creams were reactive, this acne cream was proactive. It's what you would wash your face with daily so that when the bumps showed up, it had a shorter lifespan because you were doing this before it showed up." Now, that may bless somebody in a minute, because you need to understand that it's some stuff that I must do before something shows up. See, I don't wait to become a praiser when I go through hell. I was a praiser before hell showed up. I didn't become a worshiper through hell. I was a worshiper before hell showed up. So my hell had a shorter lifespan because I was a worshiper. Baby, you can't wait till hell show up to get a prayer language. I need a prayer language so it minimizes the hell that I'm in. It says that I got to be more proactive. Touch your neighbor, say, "Be proactive, be proactive, be proactive." We need to understand, in order for something to have a shorter lifespan, we need to become more proactive. We are a reactive people, Christians, believers, saved people, saved saints. We are a reactive people. The challenge that we have is to become proactive. This is why we get in so many issues or have so many issues with our brothers and sisters, is because we are not a proactive people. We are a reactive people. So if you do me a certain type of way, I'm going to do you a certain type of way, because I'm trying to overdo what you just did to me. This is the reason why we get into fights. Y'all don't want to talk to me in here, because you will come to me in an argument, and if I feel like I'm losing, I gotta one up you, smack you, hit you, you know, do that type of stuff, because I want to be reactive in what you approach me with. But if I became a proactive person, then when you came to me with your issue, I was already in the right mind before you got to me. So we gotta understand that if I stay in my word, if I stay on my face, if I stay in worship, it'll allow me to deal with the hellions that I deal with. See, I can't fool. I ain't got time to fool with you. I deal with some real devils on my job. I gotta be proactive. So on Sunday, I need this word. So Monday, I know how to deal with them devils. Touch yourself and say, be proactive. We are a reactive people. It is sad, because we need to learn how to. This is why the Bible says, gird yourself. It doesn't say gird it after it happens. It doesn't say put on the full armor of God after you've been attacked. See, this is what we love to do. We love to put it on after we've been attacked. You got to wear that thing daily. I got to wear the helmet daily. I got to wear the chest plate daily. I got to put it on every single day. When I walk out of my house, I got to be girded up. I got to be protected, because I don't know what's about to come to me. But I know whatever comes, I'm about to be ready for it. Whatever shows up, I'm going to be ready for it. I'm not going to be reactive, but I am going to be proactive. This is where we find Joshua in this particular passage of scripture. We find Joshua getting a word before he needs a word. Yeah. This is what's so crazy. It's because Joshua gets the word, and it starts off in the beginning of this chapter, in chapter number 1, where God tells Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now, that seems strange to me, because Joshua was the aide of Moses. That means that Joshua was with Moses every single day. So therefore, if he was with Moses every single day, I really don't need an announcement about what I already know. But what God was trying to tell Joshua is, don't go search for what I killed. Okay, y'all tripping. Because nowhere in scripture will we find where Moses is buried. Oh my God. Because if we find where Moses was buried, Joshua would have probably tried to go and dig him up to verify that he is dead. God had to give Moses a word that Moses is dead, so don't go look for what I have called you out of. Now, hear me. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Sometimes God has to make an announcement about what is no longer alive. So therefore, you won't try to go and resurrect what he's tried to let die. Baby, the death of Moses, hear me, the death of Moses was a person, but it was not a promise. The promise was still alive, but he says that now, therefore, I got to use somebody else. And the reason why Moses had to die and could not take them into the promised land is because Moses allowed his emotions to make him forfeit a promise. Y'all don't want to hear that, because we are an emotionally driven people. And guess what, baby? You got one more time to give somebody a piece of your mind before you lose it all. Baby, you got to learn that I need to keep my mind intact for what I am up against. I will not allow my feelings to make me forfeit my promise. There is a promise of God that God wants to give you, but you got to learn how to get your emotions intact. Let me just give you a word right here. God gave you emotions to have, but not for your emotions to have you. Y'all just messed around and heard that. God gave you emotions to have, but not for your emotions to have you. 2 Corinthians puts it like this: every thought that comes to mind, you can put it under subjection and make it obey Christ Jesus. You'd be like, oh, I just felt that, I just needed to tell them that. Here is the problem. Your feelings are fleeting. Yeah. So your feelings are going to be different tomorrow. See, you got to be sure that your feelings don't make you forfeit your promise. Baby, how you feel today is not how you going to feel tomorrow. Your feelings may be true, but your feelings are not facts. Y'all don't want to hear that. Your feelings may be true, but your feelings are not facts. Baby, facts are something that I can bank on every day, the same thing all day long. 2 + 2 = 4. That's a fact. But baby, guess what? How I feel today is not how I'm going to feel tomorrow. Moses got caught in his feelings and made him forfeit the promise. He was supposed to carry them, watch this, not just out of bondage, but he was supposed to carry them to the promised land. But because he got into his feelings, y'all don't want to hear this. Because he got into his feelings, when he got upset with the people, he struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to the rock. Now, a few chapters before he hit the rock, God told him to hit the rock. See, in your frustrations, you will always go back to past revelation. Oh, we don't want to hear that. You'll go back to what worked in the previous season because you're too frustrated to talk to God about what you need to learn about in this season. So because of your frustration, you will be mad at God, and then you will go back to what worked before. Guess what? The relationship didn't work then. I'm talking to you. The relationship didn't work then, and it surely ain't going to work now. You need to understand that what worked or what tried to work in the previous season is not going to work in this next. Moses got so mad with the people. He struck the rock. God told him to speak to the rock. He struck it. And guess what? Water came from it after he struck it. And then God says, because you disobeyed me, you will not carry the people into the promised land. Here is the challenge. Now, when he struck the rock, water still came from it because there will be certain things that God does for the sake of his people. Even in your disobedience. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Just because it... Let me give you a word. You can at me when you post this. Just because it worked doesn't mean it was right. Y'all like get it on your way home. Because you think it worked, and so that means that it was right. No. Just because it worked does not mean it was right. When Jonah disobeyed God, it worked. He had the money for the boat, got on the boat, and was still disobedient. See, when you don't want to be in the presence of God, you will chop circumstances up to the voice of God. Well, if this line up, it must be God. That is a sad place to be. You gonna hang the revelation of God upon your circumstances? Well, if this work, it must be God. If they call me by this time, if they text me good morning, oh, I'm not. Y'all, ooh, I feel it in the room. I was like, man, if you don't get up out of here, go back to Huntsville. And he allowed, watch this, because it worked, then the people would have thought that Moses was obedient. He was not. So God had to have a private conversation with Moses to tell Moses, because you disobeyed me, you're not going to do it. So watch this, but the promise for the people still remained. So Moses dies, Joshua has to take over, and Joshua now has this new mandate. He tells him that he has died. Again, it was the dying of a person, but not a dying of a promise. You have to understand that even if the people that are around you right now, that when you got the promise, even if they are not around, your promise still remains. Now, that's a word all by itself if you grab it, because that means that no matter who comes, no matter who goes, no matter who stays, no matter who gets frustrated, no matter who talk about you, no matter who lies on you, no matter who stabs you in the back, no matter who's trying to take your platform, no matter who's trying to get one, no matter who is a hoarder, no matter who is a leech, no matter who's trying to get over on you, it's still going to work for your good. The promise still remains. And so the promise is on the individual. But guess what? It don't matter if you get frustrated and leave. The promise is still here. He tells him, God begins to tell Joshua. He says, yo, these people still got somewhere to be. Now, here is the challenge. Joshua now has to lead a people that are satisfied with coming out of Egypt. Hear me.
They are satisfied with being out of bondage. Yes, we're out of bondage. But Joshua knows that it's more to you than where you are. Y'all tripping. Lord have mercy. I'm talking to a few of you all that say, I'm living good, but this still frustrates me. I know, listen, I got a little money in my pocket, but my account ain't where I want it to be. I'm on a job that I pray for, but I know it's more in me than where I am. I got out of Egypt, but I still ain't touched Canaan. You got to understand that it's something else called potential that I need to step into because I'm greater than where I am right now. He says, because here it is, the people were celebrating Egypt when they should have been still going to Canaan. What's going to stop your next victory is your celebration over your current victory. Because we celebrate too long and we miss what God wants to do next. Guess what? Just because he did that doesn't mean that that's all God wants to do. You got the new car? Glory to God. You got a 24-hour grace period to celebrate and to thank him. And then also, guess what? When you're disappointed, you got a 24-hour grace period to be mad, to be upset. But you got to put your sorrow on the expiration date and tell yourself, I'm going to celebrate for 24. I may cry for 24. But guess what? Joy comes in the morning. And I know that there is an expiration date on this.
He says, they came out of Egypt, but you got to get to Canaan. The people are excited that we're no longer in bondage. They excited, hey, we free. They got their, I was raised Baptist. We marched in. Had that one in the back doing too much. And they were out of bondage, but they still were in bondage, but had a bigger bondage. Just because your jail cell is larger, don't mean you still not in jail. And so Joshua has the responsibility to try to change their minds that you aren't free. There is another land that you need to walk into. The hardest thing for you to do is to tell the people that are comfortable that there is more to God than what they see. So Joshua has this responsibility, and God begins to do something. For one, I want you to grasp this, because God does something he has never done in the lineage of leadership. In the lineage of leadership up until this point, everybody that was a leader was related to the other leader. Oh, y'all tripping. So they got the position because of connection. Because of who they were connected to. And for the first time, Joshua was not related to Moses, but he served Moses. Yeah. Okay. All right. I thought this was Love Live Church. Where y'all wear shirts that say I love to serve. I thought this was this place. Because when you begin to serve, it puts you in the realm of promotion that you don't even think that you are ready for. You need to understand what God is doing in this next season. Y'all about to miss this. What God is doing in this next season is that he's about to break the rules to bless you. What everybody had done and how everybody had done it was their story. But God is about to do something that doesn't even make sense in your book. And you're like, how in the world do I have this? What in the world is God going to do here? Because God is about to do something that he's never done before. He breaks the rules to bless the servant. Oh, wait a minute. Joshua didn't serve with the motive to lead. He wasn't brown nosing to get up. He wasn't saying, let me lift your arms up with the hopes that I'm the next king. But what he did is, because there had never been a king that was not
not related to the previous leader. His serving was pure. And because his serving was pure, God says, I gotta make you the next king.
You, me, we all have to check the motives of people.
That's good.
And hear me. Let me teach you this. I got to hurry because we got another service. But let me teach you this. Everybody has a motive. Okay, we don't. Everybody has a motive. You just have to make sure the motive is pure. Your motive is your motor. It's the thing that cranks you up and keeps you going. I am here today because I have a motive. My motive is to make sure that this church is better when I leave than when I came. The motive was to be here in the place of my brother. That's my motive. But you got to make sure the motive is pure. See, whenever you serve with the pure motive, you don't have to worry about where you sit. You don't have to worry about who calls your name. You don't have to worry about who pats you on the back, tells you good job. You don't have to worry about who gives you accolades and says your name over the microphone. All you got to do is serve with the right motive. Because God is a seer. Yeah. Oh. And he doesn't see outward, he sees inward. What did he tell the prophet Samuel? You wanted him because he looked like a king. But I can see stuff that you can't see. He says, don't you ever again look at the outward appearance, but I can see the inward. Because what God begins to evaluate is not the stature of a man, but the heart of a man. Why are you doing what you are doing? Joshua had the right motive, so God breaks the rules to bless him, puts him in this position, and then this is what God does. I'm going to give you 3 points because I'm Baptist. It's amazing. We'll say stuff like, you know, when it's youth day, we'd be like, Joshua generation. It's the Joshua generation. And then we have youth day services, the Joshua generation. Not understanding Joshua was 80 years old. They tell me we won't read our Bible. We just do stuff because it sounds good. Joshua! That man was 80. He served Moses literally for 25 years. Nowadays, we can't get people to serve for 25 days. Because if you don't get accolades within the first 15 days,
and don't nobody acknowledge you,
and they're not putting you on payroll. And they're not hiring you. See, we used to volunteer just to volunteer. Y'all, okay. Woo-hoo. I done hit a nerve in here. We volunteer because that's what the Lord called us to. We do it until the service unto the Lord. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 23 says, everything you do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord. For the Lord is your true rewarder. And the reality of it is that we want the reward that the world can see. We don't care about a true reward. We care about looking rewarded. So we love to look the part, but really not be it. Oh, this ruffling some of your feathers right now. It's okay. I'm gonna go back to Huntsville. But God breaks it to 3 things. He breaks it to God's promise, number one. In verse number 5, God gives him a promise. He says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you nor abandon you. Watch this. When God gives Joshua this promise, what he says is the same promise that loomed on Moses will be the promise that you inherit. God gives Joshua a promise because he does not want him to get lost thinking that he is by himself. Now, hear me. When God speaks, because you got to understand this. When God speaks a thing, it is because in your natural state, you want to abandon that thing.
He says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Watch this. But what it does not say is that people won't stand against you. Yeah. But he says, no one, what he's saying is no one will win when they stand. Yeah. Oh my God. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Watch this. If you're going to feel his presence, then why would he need to tell you he's going to be there? Did you hear what I just said? Why would God need to tell you, I'm not going to abandon you if you're going to feel him all the time? Wait a minute, y'all tripping. Because what he's telling Joshua, there's going to be some times you're not going to feel me. But it don't mean I left you. Okay, y'all ain't never been there. Let me talk to this middle session. Have you ever been where you felt like, okay, God called me to this, but I don't feel him no more? I've been praying, and I don't know if you're listening to me. I feel like my prayers bouncing off the walls. I don't feel like they're getting past this ceiling. But God says, yo, I will be with you. Because if you could feel me, then there's no need for me to tell you I'm going to be there. So in the moments where you don't feel me, no, go back to my promise. Because there will be seasons and there will be times where you don't feel God. See, I know we don't like to talk about this in church because we love to talk about everything is a feeling. No, baby, everything ain't a feeling. Some stuff is the decision. I have decided. See, that's old school church. Well, old school church be like, I have decided to follow Jesus. It was not a feeling. It was a decision. I made up in my mind that this is what I was going to do, come hell or high water. So he tells him, I ain't going to abandon you, but I want to make sure I tell you this so when you feel that I have, know that I have not. But then there is a plan that God does. And I ain't time to see this why Drake owed Jesus money. Drake said God's plan. No, we always had God's plan. Tithe, Negro. Y'all don't want to. So there's a promise and then there's a plan. Verse number 6, here's the plan. He says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Watch, he says, the plan is you're going to lead them. So watch this. I swore to their ancestors, but now the victory is going to come through you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me tell you why you feel the pressure you feel. Let me tell you why you frustrated to the level you frustrated. It's because you are a part of God's plan to break the generational curse off your last name. Now, I know y'all don't want to hear this, but God is about to give you the stuff that he swore your great, 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 great grandmama that was going to happen for them. If you believe that, I dare you to put your last name in the air. If you believe that God is about to do something, I dare you to put your last name in the air. There is a promise that there is a plan that includes you. See, you feel the pressure because you are the difference. See, I had to learn a long time ago that I was the one to break the spirit of poverty off of my family. I was the one. See, you think that you go through financial hardships just because you're going through a hard time. But you don't realize that there's been a demon that's been trying to track down your family. And he's trying to come up on you. But if you learn how to defeat it, your children won't ever have to deal with it. If you learn how to defeat it, if you learn how to defeat that spirit of lust, that spirit of perversion, that spirit of anxiety, that spirit of depression, then God will allow your children to walk in a level of freedom that they never walked in before. This battle that I'm up against is not for me. It's for the bloodline after. It's a part of God's plan. But then God gives a promise. He gives them a plan. And then he gives them a prerequisite. And I know we don't like prerequisites because we love to think that everything that God says, God must do. But the reality of it is that God operates in the if and then. Y'all, God operates in the if and then. You don't believe it? You can read your scripture. Your scripture says, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I will. See, you got to understand, there is some stuff that God wants to do, but it's only if you do. And so God needs your cooperation on what he gave you.
Now, here's a prerequisite in verse 7 and 8. It says this. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Now watch this, because Moses' life meant something. So he had to be a student of Moses and be a student of the word. So what he says is, I need you to be strong and courageous, but I need you to hold on to what Moses taught you. Just because he died doesn't mean the lessons were invalid. He says, obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then, watch this, then you will be successful in everything. Wait a minute. Oh, Lord. See, you got to understand, my apostle is Apostle Matthew Stevenson. My pastor is Pastor LeBryant Friend. And we got a thing where, like, we just have a whole knip. Oh, you know, knip means conniption. You know, you read a scripture and then you're like, oh, yeah, that's me. You know, if you was raised Baptist, it's called Baptist fits. You know, but when he says, and then you will be successful in it. Y'all don't like to read. He says, not in some stuff. Come on. Not just even in the stuff I tell you to do, but the stuff you even got ambition to do. In everything. Verse number 8, study. That's a cuss word for Christians. Oh, we hate that. Study. I just come to church. Preach to me. Study this book of instructions. Watch this. Now, sometimes, continually, meditate on it day and night, and be sure to obey everything written in it. Watch this. And he says this. This is the prerequisite. Only then. Oh. Ooh. Only then. Will you prosper and succeed in everything you do? I gotta close this because we ain't got enough time. He says, only then. So God gives, watch this, the promise that I'm gonna be there, the plan of what you're supposed to carry out, then the prerequisite that if you, like, for real, if we gonna do this, you gotta do this. But this is what I love. Now, I'm done. I got to finish. I gotta go in the back and wipe the sweat off and come back out and preach again. Watch this. This is what's crazy. What's crazy is God tells him 3 times in a matter of verses, be strong and courageous. Never once did Joshua say he was weak or scared. Wait. Wait a minute. So you telling me something before I feel it? See, for some of y'all, this word ain't gonna hit y'all till like next month. And you're gonna be sitting at your job like, oh my God, that's what Pastor AD was talking about. I'm gonna go to Instagram right now, at Adrian Davis now. Let me tell you what the Lord did. And because what God tends to do is that he gives you a word before you need it. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Woo. That's what makes it what? Proactive. Because he says, before the bump shows up, I'm going to give you the medicine you need. So that by the time it shows up, the lifespan. Joshua doesn't say, I'm scared, I'm weak. But God knew there would be a season. Yes. Yes. Because when Joshua was fighting, Joshua has one victory. He has one victory. But right after that, Joshua gets his butt beat. Yeah. And he like, man, we were supposed to take them. And Joshua has a moment of weakness.
but he has to recant the word he got. Now, what I love about it, I gotta go. Oh. This is so good. Because this is what I love about it. He never said he was afraid. He never said he was weak. But what God does not say is, I'm going to remove the spirit of fear. Yeah. And then we say stuff like, according to 1 Timothy, it says, God did not give me the spirit of fear. No, he did not give it, but you got it. So the question is, where did it come from? It does not mean you will not have it, but what courage is not the absence of fear, it's doing it in the face thereof. Baby, I need some courage to do it while I'm still scared. Touch somebody around you and say, do it scared. Do it scared. Apply scared. Go after it scared. Why would I need courage if I was not in the face of fear? What God is about to do with you, what God is about to do with you, he's about to allow you to take a step in the face of fear. He's not going to remove it, but he's going to give you courage to step right over it. And I dare you, if you got some real faith, to move right from where you are and you take your step over fear. Say, God gave me a proactive word that is for my future. And because he gave me a word that is greater than my now, I got to step. I know, before you try, you want the fear to leave. Before I tell pastor, I believe I'm called to preach. I want the fear to leave. Before I apply for that house, fear, leave me. And you have come out of word curses with fear, but fear still looms. You have prayed, and maybe, just maybe, God is not removing fear because he's trying to give you courage. If he remove fear, you don't need courage. But what God is doing in this next season is God is pouring out some courage upon you. He said, get up out, get the courage of the cowardly lion. I'm going to give you some courage. You ain't gotta go see the Oz. All you gotta do is ask for it. I'm gonna give you courage. You're gonna apply in the face of courage. You're going to fall in love in the face of courage. You have been afraid of love for far too long. But I'm going to give you a courage
in the face of your fear. And I'm talking to you that have been fearful. God says, I came to give you a word before you even told me you were scared. And now you're at the middle of a crossroads where you got to make a decision, and fear has gripped you from moving anywhere. Your future is saying, come get me. Your past is saying, come back. And your present is saying, make a move. But fear has gripped you. And you're somewhere in the middle. And God says, yo, I'm trying to give you a word that you're going to need in your future. Be strong and be very courageous. This is my prayer for you this morning, is that God doesn't remove fear. Yeah. But I'm praying he gives you stronger courage to trump fear. Yeah. If he does not remove it, if he does not remove that fear, he's going to give you the courage to jump over it. Yes. And my prayer for you is that you do not resist the courage that he's trying to pour out. So God, touch your people this morning. God, touch your people this morning. Give them a courage that goes beyond their years. God, I pray now for the spirit of courage to overtake them. God, that they will not be afraid of the future. And they would not be afraid of what they don't see or what they don't know. But God, I pray right now, even for the student that is afraid of this next grade or afraid of this next school year, that they will not allow fear to grip them. God, I pray for the right family and right friends and right connections. But God, I pray for those that are afraid to start the business and for those that have been sitting on that business plan for 6 years. God, I pray now that you begin to rest on them, to give them a courage that goes beyond what they feel. Help us out of our own feelings. But God, call us out of that place that we may tap into a thing of courage. Now, God, rest on your people and give them a courage like never before. God, I pray right now that they apply in the face of fear, that they try in the face of fear, that they move in the face of fear, that they go in the face of fear. And so, God, I thank you for the ability to move beyond what they feel and move into their future. Whoo! Their future awaits them. So God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that is challenging us to become and to do more. So God, today we give your name honor. We give your name glory. We give your name praise. And God, we tell you, do it for us. Whew, give us courage. Give us the courage of Joshua. God, give us the courage of Joshua. God, that we will stand and be very courageous. We will be brave like we've never been brave before. And so, God, that the same faith that we operated in the world, when we would go out to the club with no money, and drive the car on E and still expect to get there. God, don't allow that faith to lose us once we got saved. God, I pray against this spirit that's in the room of overthinking and overanalyzing and these migraines that are in the room that you have thought yourself into sickness. But God, I pray now that you begin to rest on your people and give them sweet rest tonight. Lord, I thank you now that you're removing these migraines and these chronic headaches. And God, I pray for these lower back pains that's in the room that has made them think that this is how it's always going to be. I see some pain in the third and lower lumbar situation. But God begins to rest in this place, begins to heal that body, begins to straighten that spinal cord, because you need to believe in a miracle before you need one. And so, God, we believe in your miracle working power. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing and the healing that you're giving. Now, God, give us a strength that goes beyond our years. Give us the ability to move beyond what we feel. And God, we begin to rest in you. And God, we thank you for what we know that we are going to walk into. Our future is calling us. Our future is calling us. So God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your courage. We thank you for the ability to do it scared. So God, we honor you. We honor you this morning. And we give your name praise. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise in here. Come on, I said let's give God some praise in here. The courage of the Lord is upon you.